is Parshas Chaye Sarah, the life of Sarah. V'yu Chaye Sarah, and the life of Sarah, Mea Shana, was 100 years, Ve'esrim Shana, 20 years, Ve'sheva Shanim, and 7 years. Shnei Chaye Sarah, the years of the life of Sarah. So it says the years of the life of Sarah twice here. So there's a big emphasis that this is the life of Sarah. So it's not speaking about the death of Sarah, it's speaking about the life of Sarah. We're actually going to say about the death of Sarah, the Tamot Sarah Bekirat Alba, right? But the parasha is called Chaye Sarah. The life of Sarah. What's about the life of Sarah that's written in the first pasuk? So Rashi tells us that the 100 years, right, is like the 20 years, which is like the 7 years. The 100 years, says Rashi, yeah, is without chet, like 20 years without chet. And 20 years without chet, right, is, right, and she's like the age of 20, like 7, the Yofi. I never knew a 7-year-old was called beautiful. That would not have been the age I pick to decide Yofi. So why is Chazal picking that age? That doesn't make sense. I can understand 100 to 20. Because 20 years, you're bat onish. You get punished. Right? So till then, you don't have chet. But mitzvah, you have chet b'day based in. But b'day shemaim, it's only the age of 20. Right? Brain for a boy, whether it's for a boy, whether it's for a girl. Correct? So that makes sense. The 100 to the 20 makes sense. But the 20 to the 7, that doesn't make sense. Lechora, anyone who would ask you, which girl is more beautiful? A 20-year-old or a 7-year-old? I guarantee you, everyone is going to say what? 20-year-old. Correct? Models don't start at 7. Models start at 20. So what are we talking about? So obviously it's not a definition of Yofi that we understand. We're not talking about the same Yofi of Sarah. Now let me explain. Sarah was very beautiful. You see, she took him to Paro, Rui for Malchus. Took to Avimelech, wanted to marry her. Like, it's not every single woman that gets taken to another country, all of a sudden everyone's looking to marry her, right? It's not every Nevei girl that goes to Nevei, every Mochan Shoma boy is going for her, right? This maybe I should give in Revei. Should I explain to the girls what the boy is looking for? She has to be yafeh, like a 7-year-old, right? She has to be beautiful like a 7-year-old. So what are you talking about? So it says, the Gemara says, the beauty of Sarah wasn't this type of beauty. The Gemara says the beauty of Sarah in comparison to the beauty of Chava was like a monkey. And the beauty of other women in comparison to Sarah was like a monkey. So it means we're not talking about beauty, physical beauty. Remember, when Chazal tells us about Adam and Chava, the Malachim thought of them as deities. That's what Rashi says. They thought as you created a deity in the upper worlds, you're creating a deity in the lower worlds. He's just talking about Adam Arishon. Chava came from Adam Arishon. Chava had a very spiritual beauty. So when we're speaking about 7, we're speaking about there's a certain purity at 7 that you don't have at 20. Sarah had it. Sarah had that purity, that spiritual purity of a 7-year-old. And that's the beauty that she had at 20. That's what made her beautiful. She was, to that extent, without chet of a 7-year-old. That's what we're talking about here. And that is also physical beauty. That's the chiddush. That also makes physical beauty. Physical beauty is not physical. Physical beauty, the source of it, is spiritual. You can have, I mean, in the outside world, you know, they have these he-men. They have all these muscles, right? You know, they flex their muscles, they look like an ox. The he-man ox. Right? That's called beautiful, right? That you look like an ox. I think oxes are not, you know, it's more appropriate for an ox to have muscles in those sort of places. But, you know, you can have these hemis. It's, if you ask me, it looks ugly. But okay, if you're talking about beauty in terms of physical strength, then a person who looks physically strong is beautiful. But maybe that's the wrong dimensions of beauty. If beauty means, I don't know what, certain proportions or certain diameters or measurements of certain parts of the body, right, for physical reasons, so that's called physical beauty. That's not the beauty we're talking about. And if you look at Chazal, if you look at what we're saying, Sarah did not have necessarily those physical things. Because she was at seven, you don't have those things. The Gemara says at the age of 11, it begins to start happening. Those physical features in a girl. That means that was not the beauty of Sarah. I mean, obviously at 20 that happened, but not at seven. And her beauty is associated with her being seven. That means, Chazal are telling you, a different dimension of beauty. It's not the same dimension. And they're telling you, when you have that dimension of beauty, all other aspects of beauty are tofel, are unimportant in comparison to that beauty. Because we said, the beauty of other women to Sarah is like a monkey. Diameters and measurements of certain things, the physical beauty is a monkey. It's dome el adam. That's the physical man, the physical woman. The physical woman is a monkey in comparison to real spiritual beauty. Only looks like, the Kabbalah Gemara says a cough. A cough is something that copies a person. You know, you can teach a cough to, like, all of a sudden stand on four legs and pretend he's playing a game of chess or something. I don't know what you can do with a cough, right? Especially now with Photoshop, you can make it do all sorts of things, right? You know, they even have this thing called Planet of the Monkeys, right? Planet that the monkey becomes, you know, all of a sudden in 2 days, he evolves from being a stupid monkey to become a super-powered monkey. That makes sense. And okay, you know, imagination, you can go anywhere with that, okay? But he still looks like a monkey, right? He didn't change his features. He still looks like a monkey. He still likes bananas, I assume. Right? Right? I don't know what they're doing. Right? But you understand what's happening here? That's not beautiful. Because it's not spiritual. What's the beauty in spiritual beauty? We spoke about this. What is the definition of beauty? Beauty is the synthesis of opposites. You with me? Neshama v'guf, says Ravolbi, nigudim hem. They are opposites. When the neshama, when the soul permeates the guf, that the soul is seen through the guf, through the body, that's beauty. Make sense to you? That was the beauty of Sarah. Of a complete shlemus. Why seven? Why seven?
Nature.
Yeah. Seven is the natural beauty, the natural seven. Seven's always associated with nature, 7 days of the week. Yeah? That natural beauty, right, was an expression of something beyond the natural, the spiritual beauty, i.e. she contained with her all the natural beauty, which is an expression of a spiritual beauty. Yes? Make sense? Okay, so that's the beauty of Sarah. Now, V'tamot Sarah v'Kiryat Arba. Sarah was buried or died in Kiryat Arba, hi Hebron. Be'eretz Canaan, and it's the land of Canaan, Ve'avo, Avraham, Lispot, Lisar, Lifkota. And Avraham came to give a hesped of Sarah and to cry about her. And there's a little cuff here. Why is there a little cuff? So it says as follows. Well, first of all, the death of Sarah happened straight away after the Akedah. Why it happened straight away after the Akedah?
She heard about it.
Right, so Rashi tells us, Nismecha mitet Sarah, there's a smicha to the death of Sarah, l'Akedah Yitzchak, the Akedah of Yitzchak. L'fisha al yedei besurat ha'Akedah, she heard about the Akedah. Shenizdamen b'na l'shchita, her son was going to be shechted. V'kimat shelo nishchat, and it's as if he didn't get shechted. The doubt of him being shechted or not shechted, that confusion caused such stress by Sarah. Parcha nishmata, she was so close to Yitzchak. Yitzchak was b'chinas din. Sarah was b'chinas din. She was close. What was? It doesn't really make sense. This piece of Chazal. She stressed out. She died. Sarah, what happened here? And does it make sense? Does it make sense?
She's
127.
Yeah.
No. She wasn't this old woman that thing. Chazal say when she gave birth to Yitzchak, right? She came back all her youth. She was like a young woman. Right? It doesn't sound like a little bit of stress. What was happening here? What was happening here? Yes. Something more that's happening. Divtei Chachamim here. It was a malach. The Satan. Otsalama. Shebitchila higid hamagid. It was told derech some level of nevuah. It's Chazal said the Satan. Shenizdamna bena l'shchita. Yeah. A malach. Shenizdamna bena l'shchita. Her son was about to be shechted. Not in that case, it just needs to be shechted. V'tekev k'sheshamazot kodim shesiyem edvarav, before he finishes words, ki lo nishchat, that he wasn't. Your son was being shechted. No, it didn't happen. Pacha nishmata, her soul went away. That's what the Sifti Chachamim says. Maybe not everyone's saying this. According to the Siftei Chachamim, the pshat is that she heard that Yitzchak was killed. V'nafsha k'shura b'nafsha. She was so connected to Yitzchak. She lived for Yitzchak. Yitzchak dies. What does she have? What is it? This is her heir. This is her son. This is her b'china. This is what she gave to the world. Of course, a woman gives to the world, you know, her own kohort. She might, you know, I'm sure Sarah lived a full life. She was Megai of the women. She brought a lot of good things to the world. She was helping Avram. Avram was with the women, with the men. Sarah was with the women, right? So they were equal in terms of the hashpa, the influence. And Sarah and Nevuah, Chazal tells you, is bigger than Avram. So she was a big person. Rachel was also a big person. But Rachel says, we learn this from Rachel, Meita Anochi, if I don't have children, what I need life. And Rachel, we know, gave her life up to have a second child called Binyamin. For a woman, that's very important. It's not enough to be mashpia in the world, to be influenced the world. Without children, what I need life for? That's Chazal. Because that's their expression. They're created to have children. Today, you have to understand that a woman doesn't want to have children is very against the teva of a woman. Chazal say, Meita Anochi, I have no expression. It means today, it's the opposite of expression. You know, all these funny types of connections that people have in the world, or even this concept of not getting married or not having children. There are people like this, I met them, that don't want to express, they just want to absorb their lives. That's a situation of Rosha B'chayav Nikra Meis. There's no expression. It's all about taking into yourself. Sarah obviously wasn't that. Sarah was a person who wanted to express. She wanted her generation to go on. I'm sure she spent hours with Yitzchak talking, explaining Avodas Hashem. I'm sure Yitzhak got so much from Sarah. Sarah was Midas Adin. Avraham was Midas Adin. Sarah was Midas Adin. Yitzhak was Midas Adin. She lost her son. There's no reason for her to live. There's a story about a very big rabbi. His name, Zecher Tzadik Vrocha, Rav Avadya Yosef, I'm sure you've heard of him. So, he was nifter. How is he nifter? What's the story? So he was walking up the stairs, and he was very bitsar about this whole thing about taking boys out of yeshivas and putting them in the army. He was in big tzar on that. And Kanira, someone spoke to him on the way he was walking up the stairs, and he heard something that was very painful to him to hear about these boys. He had a lot of achrayas for Klal Yisrael. You know, he brought a lot of boys who had nothing to do with Judaism. You know, before he came, so to speak, on the scene, there were more Ashkenazi boys going to yeshiva than there were Sephardi boys. And he said, I'm going to change the picture. There's going to be more Sephardi boys. He set up all around Israel schools to bring in non-from kids. Until today, in his own lifetime, he saw it. There's more Sephardi boys going to yeshiva than Ashkenazi boys. There's more Sephardim in Israel anyway, so it makes more sense. But they're not as frum. There's not a... So he did that. He changed the whole scene. People laughed at him when he first said that, but that's the truth. That's what he changed. He changed that. So now he was hearing about them wanting to take the army and like spoiling all that he did. That's his whole life. That affected him. They say that when he came one of the days and they spoke to him about this, and he was walking up the stairs and someone spoke to him. You know, sometimes people don't think. He slipped. And he fell, and he hurt his back very seriously. Maybe he broke a bone there, I'm not exactly sure the medical thing, but all I know is the doctors told him that it's not simple that they can solve the problem. And the pain that he had, he couldn't learn. He could answer shilas, but he couldn't learn. So they told him, his son told him, listen, Dad, the doctors can't solve the pain. He said, but I can't learn. So he said, but you can answer people, you can think, but I can't learn. What do I need life if I can't learn? If I can't learn, what do I need life? He was nifter. He was nifter. There's no point in him living. There's no point in living. I'm telling you something. This is, you have to understand this. I saw this with my grandparents also, and I'm sure a lot of people can say the same things. When people get older, and my grandparents at least, they were independent, so much, much older. They were old when they were nifta. Doesn't matter now. But as soon as one of them broke a leg, the other also broke a leg when she was nifta. As soon as they lost their independence, they just gave up. They didn't want to live anymore. They didn't want their grandchildren to look after them. They want to look after themselves. One died at 80 something, 85, 87. One died at 101. As soon as the independence was taken, what do I need life for? My life is to give, not to be dependent. That's not called life. Sarah, if she couldn't give to her son, if she couldn't create that Yitzchak that he's supposed to be, what does she need life? What does Rachel need life if she can't have children, if she can't have Shvatim? That was the Parcha Nishmata. There's no point to her life. She gave it up. There's no point. When you see, when you person, there's no point to your life anymore. I'm not talking about you can die. You can die. Especially if you're spiritual, especially if there's no point to it. You can die. There's a Gemara like this. The Gemara speaks about two children who were Kohanim Gedolim, and they were bought as Avadim. And the Romans said, you know, they were beautiful children. Obviously not the beauty that the Romans think. They were beauty because of their spiritual beauty. The same type of beauty. But so they said, I've got a beautiful boy. You've got a beautiful girl. Let's put them together in a room. And let's make beautiful avadim. And we'll sell them. It's a good idea. So they were crying the whole night. In the middle the night, the two of them came together and they were scared, and then they realized they were brothers and sisters. They cried. Chazal said, "Parcha nishmatam." Obviously, they're brothers and sisters. There's nothing going to happen between the two of them. These two Romans wanted something to happen between the two of them. That's not going to happen. That's not what they're there for. To have children, and these Romans sell their children as slaves, that's not a toeles, that's not a tachlis. Pacha nishmatam. They died. They weren't old, they died. It's the same concept. You understand? Life means you have a tachlis, you have a purpose. That's why people who are very depressed, they can die. There's no point for living. If you see no point for living, Pacha nishmatam was the Misa of Sara. The Maharal is explaining a different Misa. He's explaining the Bahala, that a Pitom, she says, was killed and wasn't killed. It's mashma a little bit like Rashi like that. Killed and not killed. What does that mean? What's the Bahala? If something which is important to you, you're nivar about it, you're shocked about it. You know, people, if what they're called, you know, you scare them. It's not a joke. People do these things. It's not a joke. They scare people. Very scary. You know, they'll catch you behind a tree or something like that. They'll boo or something. I don't know what they do. They scare you. It's a problem. You can. It can affect you. It's not a healthy thing to do. So, you know, even a bang, the shock of a bang can sometimes even make you deaf. Because the bahala of something can take you out of your senses. You can lose your sense of reality. That losing of sense of reality can cause death. That's what the Maharal, that's the way the Maharal is explaining it. But it has to be something also ekroni. He's not arguing the ekroni of that. Yitzhak was something ekroni to Sarah. She was nivhal. She was confused. She was in complete confusion for a moment about something she was living for. That's also a similar concept. The bahala, the stress, I don't mean stress, the confusion, the intense confusion of what you're living for, that can also cause parcha nishmata. It's not so much of a machlokas. You understand? Something ekroni is something essential. So Rashi says that Sarah died bekirat arba. What's arba here? Oh, the anakim that were there. So Rashi explains it's also speaking about, right, Avraham and Chava, right? No, sorry, Adam and Chava, Avraham and Sarah. We're going to be buried there, right? Yitzchak and Rivka, Yaakov and Leah. Rachel wasn't Zoche to be buried there, right? We're going to see soon why. We say this is Chevron. Why is it called Chevron? Be'eretz Canaan. Chevron, the word Chevron in Hebrew means Chibu Nun. Connecting to Nun. Whatever Nun means. Canaan means Hachna to Nun. Eretz Yisrael is called Eretz Canaan before we took it. And then it's called Eretz Yisrael. Right? Chevron is one of, so to speak, the holy cities of the Jewish people. Okay. Nun, when we say Nun in Chumash, Nun refers to Nun Shari Bina. 50 levels that a person can reach, which is Shah of Bina, which is the beginning of the heights of spirituality the person in of himself can't reach. When do we have 50 days? We have 50 days to Matan Torah, to counting to the Torah. The 50th day is the receiving of the Torah. What we receive on Matan Torah, it's Nun Shari Bina. The 50th level, which a man in of himself can't achieve, that's given as a matana if we do the 49 levels. That's why we have 49 levels before we reach Matan Torah, and then a matana is given to us after we work on the 49. That's right? You understand? That's what happened in Mitzrayim. We went out, we went away from 49 levels of Tumah, of impurity. Had we gone to the 50th level, that's it. We would have finished as Klal Yisrael. We would not have come out of each tribe. And those who were on that level died in Makat Choshech. We learned that, Be'ezar Hashem. Makat Choshech, Chazal tell us, was not physical darkness. It was the darkness of Gehinnom. They were lost completely as any Jew. They were no longer connected in any way. So Chevron means Chibu Nun, connecting to the Nunchari Bina, because the place of a tzaddik is a place of connection. Because where a tzaddik dies, part of his neshama is still there. It's called, in the Lashon of Chazal, Hevle Degarmi. The hevel, I don't even say hevel in English, like the mist or the lachluchit, the some sort of, it gives life to his bones. That's why a tzaddik, his bones don't decay. The more your bones decay, the less you have there. Some people, everything decays, right? That means he doesn't have chiyus to his bones. Usually tzaddikim, at least their bones don't decay. Some special tzaddikim, it's something different, all, you know, like with the goof. Okay, that's, we'll speak about Moshe and Yaakov when we come to Parshas Vayechi, we'll speak about that. But that's called Hevle Degarmi. There's a little lachluk, this chiyus, and from that has chiyus amesim. Okay. So that's the chibul, that's the connection of the tzaddik's soul, physical soul, or spiritual soul, sorry, his nefesh, is connecting to his higher soul, which is connected to his body. So that has a place of chibul nun. So these are special people. These are the others. This is Adam v'Chava. This is a special place of connection, right? These are big people. So it's a special place. That's why it's Hebron. Now, it was Be'eretz Canaan. Canaan is a general name for the whole of Eretz Israel. I explained this already. Canaan means hachna'a, to be machnia yourself, subjugate yourself. But to which nun? Kna'a nun, to be machnia to the lower nun. That means to connect to the nun sharei tuma. That's why it's called Eretz Canaan. Eretz Yisrael has the specialty of connecting to the higher nun, but has to be equality. Just as you connect up, you have to have the ability to connect down. So as much as you have a Yetzer Tov, you have a Yetzara, you have to have an equal disposition, otherwise you don't have free will. Right? Wherever you have big tzidkus, big ability to grow, you have big ability to do ra. Eretz Yisrael is a very good explanation of that. Things you never have in Chutz La'aretz, you have here. By the non-from. You don't have such people who hate Jews like you have here. Doesn't happen in Chutz La'aretz. Even the furthest away, they won't spit in the face of a rabbi or speak about it. It won't happen. Here, you'll find people like that. You find people who are anti-Jewish. You won't find that in Chutz La'aretz. Because it has to be Zeh Keneged Zeh Asay Elokim. Canaan was the son of Ham. Ham represented, like you said, all the physicality in the world. Canaan, remember, was cursed. The Eved Avadim. He'll be a servant. Yes? In Parashas Noach. So why is he a servant? Because he's subjugating himself to his physicality. He's a servant to his physicality. When you're a servant to physicality, when your body and the desires of your body, those are the things that motivates you, you're a real Eved. You're a real servant. When you're free from the subjugation of your physical needs, then you're Bnei Chorin. Then you're a free person. Canaan remained an Eved. That was a klal of Noach. But because he was machnir himself, he was to the physical world. Yisrael, I explained this once before, Yisrael means, that's the first Rashi in Chumash, the Kodesh Baruch Hu gave Eretz Yisrael Rashi Yasha Be'enav, Yasha Kel, straight with God, that means connecting to Shara Nun, is Yisrael. That's why it's called Eretz Yisrael. It's called Eretz Canaan, or Eretz Yisrael. There's no in-between place. Right? It's not like a mezuzah, you can put a diagonal now. Or up, or down. No in-betweens. And that's what you find in Eretz Yisrael. You find people who are connecting upwards, or Chas V'Shalom, people who are connecting downwards. And there's people in between who are thinking where to connect. You know, it's like itim cholim, itim Sometimes mishugare, sometimes normal. That happens. That happens. Happens even in the yeshiva. Boys sit and learn, and in the evening sometimes they go to certain places, and they find they fall. And it's the opposite of what they're learning in the yeshivas. I'm not saying, but it happens in the yeshiva. It happens. A person has to be careful of that, because when you enter Kedusha, there's going to be a fight for it. There's going to be a fight that pulls you away. Be very careful. And things that were easier sometimes for you to do and to keep away from, when you weren't from, become a big challenge when you become from. Sometimes that happens. Sometimes you see boys, they become from, and they would not have done these things. And it happens to them here. You have to be very careful. And let me explain why this small C, small calf, sorry, see, small calf. Why Avram cried with Sarah, hello. Avram just did the Akedah. Kodesh Baruch Hu tells him, Yiret Elohim. This was his final test. The Akedah stays with us. It's the schus of Klal Yisrael that we have in our spiritual genes this ability to be makriv ourselves like Yitzchak and to give up of ourselves. Right? Or what we hold for Kodesh Baruch Hu. We have that because of the Akedah. That's intrinsic in us. Can you imagine if Avram Avinu regretted it? It says about a mitzvah. If you do a mitzvah and you regret it, it takes away from the mitzvah. The final test of Avram Avinu was, what did the Akedah cause? His loved wife. The mother of Yitzchak. The mother that's going to be the person who's going to make the next generations. She's going to see the grandchildren. This is Sarah Imenu, whose nevuah was bigger than Avram. The kesher that was between Sarah and Avram, we can't imagine. He lost her doing Avodas Hashem. It was Avodas Hashem. The Satan came. The Bilbel Sarah. Why? He didn't get Avram. He couldn't get into Shechtit. He couldn't confuse Avram. The angel came. Avram's kiilu when he was Shechtit da'al, kiilu zebni. And Derech Agav, I didn't explain this last week, but I was saying it b'kitza now, that was Har Moriah. That was the Beis Hamikdash. And when you see, when you learn Vayikra, the whole concept of the Korban is Ki'ilu you makriv yourself instead of the korban. And there's a very, very good reason which we'll learn, Bezer Hashem, when the beginning of Parshas Vayikra. And that we get from Avram with the Akedah. That was the Shorish. And Derech Agav, that was what he was told by Bris Ben Avatarim, that the korbanos was going to keep us Eretz Yisrael. And that's what he did. He, the Shorish of that, with the Akedah Yitzchak. So now, the source of that with the Akedah Yitzchak. Now, let's go back here. So had there been any slight remorse in doing this mitzvah, would have taken away from the mitzvah. This Akedah, which is going to last for Klal Yisrael, generations, says the Chasam Sofer, that's why it says, Livkota, the small calf. He didn't have any regret. The Bechi was just a small calf. There was no regret on the Akedah. The Akedah had its full koach. That's what Chazal are telling us, this small calf. Make sense? It'll be a whole story of Avram buying the Maarat HaMachpelah and with money. And we see the Gemara in Kiddushin, we learn from here, Kiddushe Isha, that you can buy a woman with money from the money that Avram bought of a burial place for Sarah. The Gemara says in Kiddushin, the beginning of the Gemara, Daf Beisam et Beisam, Daf Hei, whatever it says, Kicha kicha, it's actually Daf Beis. Kicha kicha b'sdei Ephron. Beis Hamadav, sorry. Kicha kicha b'sdei Ephron. The Gzeir Shava, you learn kicha, v'yiki. Ki yikach ish isha, you buy a woman, and it says, Sadeh sekan Avraham. The field which Avraham bought to bury Sarah. So we learn, just as here it was with Kesef, So you can buy a woman with kesef. What's the kesher? What's the connection?
You marry someone, it's like you died.
The Gemara says that. Gemara asks. If you mentioned it, the Gemara says, you can be. Gemara says, in B'ma'arva, in Yerushalayim, when a couple used to get married, they used to ask the chasam. No one does this here. Matzah or motza? Matzah means, did you find a woman that's going to bring out of you Rotzan Hashem, the will of Hashem? Or motza, did you find a woman, ma mimavis, that's more bitter than death? Okay. Let me ask you for a minute. You're under your chuppah, right? You're marrying this girl. Unless you're crazy, if anyone is to ask you this at your chasna, you're going to say, Rabbi, I don't understand you. What do you mean, bitter than death? She's a nice girl. You told me. You know, like, you made the shidduch for me, Rabbi. Like, hello. Like, this is a good girl, you told me. Unless it's something you're not telling me, Rabbi. No. You know all the information. So why am I asked? Why are you asking this question? Of course every chassan is going to say
Matzah.
I'm not going to say Mozart. You wouldn't marry if you thought it was a Mozart, right? When you marry a girl who's going to be bitter than death, I don't think a normal person would do that, right? Yeah, we're talking about in the normal situation, right? No one's going to do that. So what's this question that they ask in Yerushalayim, where they ask the chassan, right? I think they have problems with Shalom Bias in that time. Not like our generation. Yeah? So the pshat is that that's the metzias of life. The metzias of life with your wife is Eza or Konegdo? Zoche Elzro, she'll help you to bring out Ratzon Hashem. Konegdo Lilachem, says Rashi, she'll fight with you. But it's if you're going the wrong way. I'm talking about normal. If you're going in the wrong way, she'll fight with you. Be worse than Mavis. She's there to bring out Ratzon Hashem. That's what we're telling you, Chasna. She's there that you bring out your Ratzon Hashem. When you don't bring out Ratzon Hashem, she's going to fight with you. But if you're going in the Ratzon Hashem, that'll be expressed. That's a normal marriage. Today, I don't want to say, you have all sorts of things which people don't know when they get married. That's why you need to speak to rabbis. You need to be very careful who you marry and not, like, you know, you don't want to marry based on the looks. You want to marry on something more internal, which is obvious, but I don't need to tell you that. What has burial to do with marriage? So let me tell you another. Rashi brings this. When Yaakov Avinu saw Rachel, he kissed her, right? And he cried. Why did he cry? Because he saw it wasn't going to be buried with her. What has that to do with marriage? Him not being buried with her. So if we understand, a zivug is a pair. That means, like we say, she's half your soul and you're half a soul. The pair comes together, they become a whole soul. In the physical world, your souls are not connected. Your souls have two separate bodies. When you're buried and the husband and wife gets buried together, the goof is no longer separating. The souls are together. That's what Gemara and Baba Basra says. What is Avraham Avinu doing? He's Becheko Shel Sarah. He's connected with Sarah. When Yaakov Avinu saw that he wasn't going to be buried with Rachel, he saw that the connection was going to be incomplete. That's why he cried when he kissed her. It was an incomplete connection. That's what he saw with Ruach HaKodesh. Now that I'm learning Kicha Kicha Mistei Ephron, I'm learning burial place where husband and wife are going to be buried together. And that's the place of perfect connection. That's what I want when I do a kinyan of a wife with kiddushin. I want it to end up to burial together. I want it to end up as a perfect connection. So that makes sense that I'm learning kesev kiddushin and kesev a burial. You with me? Good. By burial, the goof isn't mafrid, isn't separating us. It's a perfect connection. I want my kiddushin to be that perfect connection. So that makes sense. And the Gemara learns it from there. You understand also this whole thing with Ephron. Ephron's also called Afa Nun. Afa Nun means the connection to the Nun. The Afa means physicality. Ephron represents physicality that was connected to the Nun. That's Ephron, right? Avraham represents connecting spiritually. So that's why when Avraham bought the Sadeh from Ephron, right? He bought it, there was Tkuma. Rashi says there was a rising of the field. It doesn't mean that physically the field went up. It means spiritually the field, instead of being the Afa connecting to the physical Nun in Ephron, became Avraham, became Hevron, became connected to the higher Nun. That was a Tkuma that happened. And it's not Stam, it says Abam or Shekel Kesev over the Socher. Money always represents, always money, the concept of money, right? You haven't learned yet, but the concept of money is, money in of itself isn't a commodity. Money is a definition of value. Pashtus, that's a simple concept of money, right? And it's defined by the king. That's why the Gemara in Baba Kama says, what was the coins of Avraham? It was Avraham's picture on one side and Sarah on the other side. Shlomo, because Avraham was a king, right? You see in previous parasha, he was Melech HaMashiach. There's a remnant to Avraham, right? What was the coins of Shlomo Melech? Shlomo and Batsheva, right? No, not Batsheva. Shlomo and, no, it was David and Batsheva. Sorry. Right? Shlomo, I've forgotten who it says at the end, in the coins. Yeah, you understand? So it's a concept of Malchus. A coin is a concept of Malchus. Now, Taf is, the gematria of Taf is 400. Taf is the end of all the alphabets. It's Nichlal, all the alphabet is, right, is included in that Taf, or expressed in that Taf. Taf represents expression of Malchus. It's the end of the alphabet. I mean, the end of the alphabet is all the alphabet is expressed in the end, in the Taf. Yeah? So that's the Abamot Kesef. There was a change of Malchus. It went from the Malchus of Ephron, from the Malchus of physicality, to the Malchus of Avram, Chibu, to the Nun. That was the 400, the Taf, of money that was given to Ephron. The exchange of Malchus. It wasn't a simple thing happening here. It was a very, very deep thing happening here. Okay? Now, Avram says he kimat lost his son, and his son's not even married. And we have a whole parsha here of Avraham bringing Eliezer and telling him, don't take me, don't. Eliezer wanted his daughter, right? Eliezer was the Meshech Bayit. He taught him all that he knew, right? It was fitting that his daughter would marry Yitzchak. But Eliezer came from Canaan. It was Mekula, wasn't Matim. So he went, and we hear the whole story of the bear, that the bear came up before Rivka, and Eliezer saw that as a sign, and without asking her who her family was or anything, he gave her the ring, but when he came back to Lavan, and he repeated the story, he didn't say that. He first said that he asked Rivka who was her family and that they were fitting, and then gave the ring. Right? And if you look at the ring, all these rings, look in Rashi, they're all ramazim to the Torah. They're all hints of the Torah. Why the rings? Yeah. Rashi in Pasuk Kav Dalet Kav Beis, says, Beka, says in the Pasuk, it says, Vehi kashe kilu agmalim lishtot, when she finished giving drink to the camels, v'yikacha ish nezim zahav. He took a nezim zahav. It's something you know. Beka mishkalo, the nose. You know something? Put a nose. Remes L'shikli Yisrael beka l'gulgolet. You know when they give the half a shekel? So beka l'gulgolet. And the counting of the Klal Yisrael, that shows the unity of Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael are one. When we learn, machzor l'shekel will learn that. And it says, u'shnei tzmidim, Rashi says, remez u'shnei luchot metzumadot, the two luchot abrit, which are connected. Don't think you can do ben aron u'chavero and not ben aron u'malkum. Don't think you can do between man and God and not man and man. They're together. The one luchot in divided in two. Okay? Smudim. Asara zahav mishkalam. 10 zahav is their weight. Remez lasara to dibrot shebehen. So we see the counting of Klal Yisrael and the Ten Commandments. Torah. Right? Beggar you need to understand, but it's a question of yichud, of oneness. We see the hachana for Torah, the yichin sham tachataha, ki ishechav v'levechad, that be one people. Beggar Gugolet, you can't count them as individual, separate people. You count them as the unity. Each one's half a person. You can only connect to the one. So in order to get Torah, there has to be unity. So it's speaking about Matan Torah. That's what Rabbeinu B'chaya says here. Says the story of the connection of Rivka to Yitzchak and Eliezer, right? The story of Eliezer, who's connecting them, he married them off. He did the Kiddushin. He gave her the Kiddushin, the Kesef Kiddushin, right? The Tzmidim. What happened in Luchot Rishonot? Klal Yisrael didn't ask what's written in the Torah. They just said, Naaseh, we'll accept it. V'nishma, then we'll tell us what it's about, and then we'll keep it. And the Gemara says, "I'm a pziza, naseh v'nishma." Because of that, Klal Yisrael was zocher to the ketarim of naseh v'nishma, the two crowns of naseh v'nishma. That was in Luchot Rishonot. Luchot Shniot, they didn't have the mila of naseh v'nishma. They lost it. It was a less darga. They lost the ketarim.
So the second time,
he asked, who is your family? And then he gave the tzmidim. So it's in the giving, in the marriage of Rivka, what really happened was Naaseh V'Nishma. He said, I can see that you're fitting. Klal Yisrael said, Naaseh V'Nishma. They didn't ask what was in it. And then the second time, the story he told to Lavan, right? And this makes sense, he's telling to Lavan, when Klal Yisrael lost Luchot Rishonot, then they asked first, like, hello, this is your family. And then the tzmidim were given. They lost their Naaseh V'Nishma. That was the second Luchot. Why is this hinted in Rivka and Yitzchak? Yitzchak is associated with Midas Adin. Torah is associated with Midas Adin. What I mean by Torah is associated with Midas Adin? When the Torah is revealed in the world, there's no options anymore. There's no, you can do this or you can do this. No, this is how you do things. There's no other option. You don't do things, there's onish. Torah brought Midas Adin to the world in the sense that Torah is rachamim, but the concept of that there's gvul, there's boundaries, there's how you have to keep things. Klal Yisrael can't, there's no like, you know, you see this is Ruchani and you do it. No, now it's fixed. Now there's boundaries. Now there's Gvul. That's Din. That's Midas Din. So the Chibur of Yitzchak to Rivka is the Chibur of Kodesh Baruch Hu to Klal Yisrael. At the time, it wasn't we just didn't say it. We weren't on the level to say it. The first Luchot, we were on the level to say it. After the Chet HaEgel, we lost that level and we didn't have the ability to say it in a way that would be true. We weren't living on that level anymore. That's why the second Luchot, we don't have the Naaseh V'Nishma. We get it through Avoda during the week, and then we get the Neshama Yetera on Shabbos is the Naaseh V'Nishma. But it only comes to a person who works on it during the week, and then you get a little part of it on Shabbos. So there's this little bit in between about when Rivka sees Yitzchak, he's davening, he's praying. And the Megala Mukot said that the Rivka sitting on this Gamal, where she was, the Gamal represents, Roch Gamal represents the Ra in the world. Gamal represents the Ra in the world. When Esav comes to see Yaakov, comes to fight Yaakov, Parshas Vayishlach. Melachim, right? So, he's Rochve Gamal. Camels. So camel represents the people who ride the camels represents the Ra in the world. Says the Megali Amukot, when Rivka was Rochev the Gamal, she was Machnia. She had the ability to fight the Ra, to the extent that the Gamal, the camel was in servitude to Rivka. That's when she was she rode the camel. When she saw Yitzchak, she fell on the side of the camel. She fell down. Because she, right, she's not stepped off, she like fell like that on the side of the camel. So what does that mean? It means she saw when Yitzchak was davening, his darga in tefillah, she saw that his darga in tefillah was so much higher than hers that she was machnia herself to Yitzchak. I, Yitzchak, was an Ola Tmima. He already lost his Yetzahara. He lost it at the Akedah. That's what Rashi tells us. V'techena einav. He lost. So she saw that he was completely in a different darga. So she was machnia herself. She put herself down to Yitzchak. Okay. Now, I'm going to skip. So now, Avraham got Yitzchak a wife. Yitzchak brings back Hagar. It's machlokes in the Gemara. Hagar, we say, is Keturah. Keturah is Hagar. Machlokes is Hagar or someone else. But Pashas, it's Hagar. Right? So now we see that she has more children. And these children, we don't see that they have any problems with Yitzchak. There's absolutely no problems with Yitzchak. By Yishmael, we see Misachek. And Rashi tells us, he throw an arrow at him and say, I'm just playing games. And Sarah saw that, and Sarah with the Ruach HaKodesh saw this is a problem. Yitzchak's life was threatened, and she sent him away. That was last week's parasha. And we see that Avram didn't send him away with money and food, just sent him with, because he saw that Yishmael went to Tabasra. He saw that there was something wrong with Yishmael. He wasn't happy about it, but he saw right? And Hagar went and served Avodah Zarah, went back to Beit Mitzrayim. She got a wife, an Egyptian wife, Yishmael. She came back, and Chazal say, Keturah is a lotion of Kesha, connect. She was Kashur, she Kashar herself. She didn't get married again to anyone else. And also, Keturah is a lotion of essence, Ketoret, of essence, of nice fragrance. Okay. So now, we see there's no problems here. And the Arizal says that with Bnei Keturah, they accept Klal Yisrael. They accept Klal Yisrael as being servitude to Klal Yisrael. They accept the servitude to Klal Yisrael. See Klal Yisrael as something special. Now, it says that Avram sent them away. Yeah? He sent them away. Kedma. Right? B'yitein Avram et kol asher lo liYitzchak. All that he had, he gave to Yitzchak. Ulevnea Pilakshim, to the Pilakshim, Ashel Avram, this was Keturah, this was Natan Avram Matanot, he gave him presents. Vishalchem Me'al Yitzchak, he sent them away from Yitzchak, but no, Bo'odenu Chai, where he's still alive. Kedma means eastwards, right? El Eretz Kedem, to Eretz Kedem. What's this Matanot? Rashi brings the Gemara in Sanhedrin. No, what are these Matanot? Pirish Rabotenu, Shem Tuma Masalahim. He gave them Shemot of Tuma, names of impurity. Davarache, Mash Nitando al Odot Sarah, the presents he was given to Sarah by Avimelech, by Paro, Vishamatanot, Shinitnulo, Hakol Natanahim, Shelor Atzale and Otmim. He didn't want to benefit from them. But Pashas, the Matanas of Paro, or Shemus of Tuma. Now, why would Avraham Avinu give his children names of impurity? Doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense. He would be Isha Chesed, would give him something to his children which were bad for them. So it must be that it was good for them. That's the only pshat. It's just for Klal Yisrael it's considered impurity. For them it was the Avodas Hashem. What was the avoda of Mitzrayim? We know. Pyramids. What were the pyramids? They built pyramids. They put all their physical wealth in the pyramids for the afterlife. Even their avadim they put in there. Even they killed them and put the avadim there. Whatever. Everything they needed. The paro would continue for eternity. So all these riches, money, everything, he put. That means his concept of eternity. He had the concept of Olam Haba. Paro had a concept. That was the whole concept of the pyramids. The concept of Olam Haba, what was this concept? But it was a physical Olam Haba. It was a physical Olam Haba. But his whole life was to amass all these riches, put it in the pyramids, so he lived with his riches for eternity. That's how Paro lived. So, Hagar was a Mitzrit. The Matanot were all what came from Paro, i.e. the concept of Paro, or the Shema Satuma. Avraham Avinu wanted to turn this Avodah Zarah into Avodah Hashem. So there is an afterlife. You are living for an afterlife, but it's a spiritual one. It's a removal from physicality. And if anyone understands, that's the Avodah of the Eastern religions. It's a removal, it's a form of meditation. A meditation in which you remove yourself from the physical world. That removal from the physical world is the Avodas Hashem. But it's by Klal Yisrael it's wrong. Klal Yisrael, to connect spiritually and remove yourself from the physical world is death. Our purpose, we have the koach to bring a Kodesh Baruch Hu into the world. To connect the Kodesh Baruch Hu to the world, that's why we get married. And that's why this parasha is about marriage. About connecting to the physical world. Chevron, Rivka and Yitzchak, marriage, connecting, Matan Torah, bring the Torah down into this world. Mekadish the physical. That's what Klal Yisrael is. Klape Klal Yisrael, this is a Shema Satuma. This is not the proper way. This is death. But Klape them, to fix the Avodah Zarah of Mitzrayim, that they took all their physicality into the spiritual world. They're saying, no, remove yourself from physicality. This is just a spiritual world. That was the fixing. And if you understand, in the Asian world, all of their, the Hindus call themselves Brahmin. Avraham. It was changed, right? It became better, became without the Avodah Zarah. I don't think it's a real Avodah Zarah by them. They're just representations. But it's not a real, they believe in a Kodesh Baruch Hu, there's a unity to behind everything, right? I'm not saying it's not Avodah Zarah, right? But Vareos want, Avraham Avinu wanted to be, right? But this meditation, the Buddhists, is meditation of the mind. That's the Indians, right? The Chinese, I don't know what else, is meditation of the body. That's Kung Fu and all these martial arts. But it's a meditation, it's a form of meditation. That's why the Refuah is also these sort of things. But it's a meditation, it's a removal of self. It's control of self by removal of self. You with me? Yishmael, now try and understand also, which religion holds that the world to come is a physical world to come? Yishmael. The physical 70, you know, 70 women, or whatever, right? That's what they believe in. The Rama believes it, says, tipshi. It's physical pleasure. The highest level of physical pleasure you can have in the world, they take it with them. All 70 nations of the world, probably, it comes from. The 70, they have all different types of, from all the nations of the world. The most beautiful women from all the nations of the world. That's the most physical pleasure you can have. That's probably what it's about. That came from Paro. That came from Avodas Paro. That's what Paro put in his pyramids. Yishmael, this I heard from someone, I don't really know, but someone told me, someone whose father was knew about these things, told me that in Mecca, they spin like tops. And the Avoda is a meditation of emotions. And that's all these three forms of Avoda, right? Forms of meditation, removal of self. And that's what Avraham gave. It's not an avoda by Klal Yisrael. This is the opposite of avoda. We have to bring a Kodesh Baruch Hu into the world. We don't live for the world to come. Like, they will give their lives up, right, for whatever they think is right, crazy, right, killing or whatever, but they'll get the afterworld. And they're promised a special afterworld. And that's what we're going for. For us, it can't be. Life is too precious here. Because this is the life in which you gain your afterworld. You don't gain your afterworld by killing. You can't gain your afterworld by that. You gain your afterworld by giving and caring and bringing Kodesh Baruch Hu into the world. You with me? And that's why by them it's Shemus Atuma. By us, sorry, it's Shemus Atuma. By them, it's Avodas Hashem. You with me? Make sense?
Yep.